Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our 25th episode of Glacier Restaurant Group's podcast, Drifting, dedicated to learning more about members of the GRG family across positions, across concepts, and across the country. I'm Corey Utterback, and I work in human resources for Glacier Restaurant Group. As always, I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Ryan Fuller.
Hello. Thank you, Corey. And for our 25th episode, we had to bring in somebody special. So we're bringing in the person who I have an office right next door with, Mr. James Blystone. Welcome, James.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So as you know, we always start out with general introduction of yourself to our listeners. So we'll start with where were you born and where did you grow up and where did you go to school? So I know just by knowing you that there's a lot to this answer. So
I said, way to start out with a loaded question there. I was born right outside of Chicago, Illinois. And where I grew up was overseas for most of my life.
Yeah.
Been around the world a few times. My father was a diplomat. So we lived everywhere from Buenos Aires, Argentina, Santiago, Chile, Rome, Italy, Cairo, Egypt, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So yeah, just about everywhere. And so I went to school overseas at American schools. And then when I came back, I went to school, University of West Virginia, and then did a little bit of work at a Georgetown University.
Awesome. So when you were traveling around to these different locations growing up, was it a month at a time, 3 months, 6 months, a year, or is it just all over the board, depending on what your dad's role was?
No, it was a few years, so it could be anywhere from 3 to 4 years. Okay. That was probably about the average. And then while we were overseas, we'd do traveling. So, you know, if we were in Rome, you know, we'd go to London or Ireland or, you know, other places. So,
well, awesome. Did you enjoy traveling that much, or was it just so normal that you didn't recognize it being different than what most people encounter?
It's a great question. No, it was a normal. We get to the point growing up where we'd get the itch, my sister and I, and okay, where are we going next?
Yeah.
And, you know, the movers would come and, it was just, it was normal.
Awesome.
So give us a brief description of your fam.
Well, it's just my wife, my daughter, and I, Julie Kensington and I. Julie also actually comes from kind of an international background. She lived for about 4 months in Mexico as well.
Okay.
Her father was a military pilot.
Oh.
And you know, now we all, live here in Whitefish. My parents just moved up here about a month ago.
Yeah.
So most of my family is probably in the Midwest with my parents now, I guess, being out here.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your first job? And here's another loaded question. And then how did your career progress after that?
So believe it or not, my first job was working for Hublein, and Hublein owned the brand Jose Cuervo. And they asked me to go down and work with the folks in Casa Cuervo to bring the beach volleyball tour back to the U.S.
That was your first job?
First job out of college.
Yeah, I was a paper boy.
Yeah. well, I guess like first job after college.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, but my first job, I think, was probably working at Little Caesar's Pizza.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In high school, yeah.
That's funny.
Working at Little Caesar's Pizza. So yeah, so that was where I started. And from a career standpoint, went from that to the Coca-Cola company. From the Coca-Cola company, went on to packaged goods, Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth, and ended up with Rayovac in Madison. And that's when I got into the food. I left Rayovac and went to Culver's. I worked with Craig and Lee Culver's on, it's a QSR brand.
Yep.
That's actually grown significantly now.
And that brand is almost all franchise, isn't it?
Yeah. There are only 9 corporate restaurants, yeah. And I think they just hit 1,000 restaurants and only 9 of them are corporate.
Yeah. That's impressive. So in all these moves, most of your roles have been with marketing. Is that correct?
Correct. Marketing, strategic planning, analytics,
yep.
Brand management.
Excellent. So how did your path end up crossing with Glacier Restaurant Group? How did you end up working with us?
Well, I was at this little brand in Ohio,
yeah.
called Max and Hermas.
Yep.
And the folks at Glacier Restaurant Group, you and Brad, invited me out here in January.
Yeah.
And I came out to a little place called Whitefish, Montana, had no idea who I was coming out to meet, what was going on in Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah.
And you know, we hit it off, and you guys asked me if I would consider moving out here, and brought Julie and Kensington out, and they loved it as well. And next thing you know, the house sold really quickly, and we were out here by that summer.
Yeah. So what's the verdict? Are you, how do you like Whitefish?
Oh, we love it. We love the people. We love the community. We love the open spaces. And I just think it's a wonderful place to raise a family.
Yeah.
That's what I think I'm most excited about. More people know my wife and my daughter than I do. So I get introduced as, oh, I'm Kensington's dad, or I'm Julie's husband.
Yep.
But it's just, it's a great place to raise a family.
Good. Well, we're glad you made the move, and we're glad that you're glad that you made the move.
What are some of your hobbies?
Oh gosh. I think, you know, hobbies would include flying, training dogs, do a lot of charity work. I feel like a hobby right now is ice skating, even though I don't ice skate because
you're so involved.
Because I'm at the ice skating rink every single day.
That's fair.
But yeah, that's
when you say flying, you're talking about you actually flying the plane.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you get your pilot's license?
Gosh, I got my pilot's license 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I got it because I got Julie, my wife, a certificate to get a free training flight.
Oh.
Because her father was a naval aviator.
Yeah.
And she had such a blast. I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Maybe I want to try this. Yeah.
And so that's how I got into it.
Oh, awesome.
So what position are you currently working, and how long have you worked with us?
Gosh, I've been with the company since 2016, and right now I head up all the beverage development, marketing, beverage innovation, so everything to do with LBW. I also handle and help out with real estate needs and data analytics.
Yeah, excellent. You spent a lot of time working around the restaurant industry. What is the first thing you notice, good or bad, when you walk into a restaurant?
It's another great question. I think the first thing I notice are eyes.
Oh, really?
And I think it tells a lot about the restaurant. It tells a lot about the culture, because there are people who can smile with their eyes.
Yeah.
Right? When you walk in, and I don't know how to verbally describe it, but when somebody smiles with their eyes, you feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that really sets the tone for your experience in that restaurant. Yeah. And there's some people that are really good at it. And there's some people like me who just don't have that skill set.
Yeah.
But if you find the right people and you see those eyes looking up at you and smiling at you when you walk in a restaurant, I get a certain feel.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I hadn't really thought about that much until we were in the middle of COVID and everyone was wearing masks in our restaurants, but you could still find the people who were smiling with their, you know what I mean? You could tell just by their eyes. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
An astronaut.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. Nice.
I was set on that. I was going to, you know, be the first guy in the family up in space and on the moon. Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So you already answered a little bit of this, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. You moved to Montana from Ohio a number of years ago, specifically Whitefish. What are some of your favorite things about Whitefish or Montana in general?
I think the community in Whitefish and in Montana is really what's special. I still laugh. When we first moved out here, I would pull off the side of the road because I wanted to check my phone to figure out where I was going.
Yeah.
And people kept on pulling up behind me. I was like, what is going on here? And they'd pull up and they'd get out and make sure everything was okay. And after about the third time that happened, I figured out it makes more sense to pull into a parking lot to check your phone versus on the side of the road. So I think, you know, the people, the community are what we really love here.
Awesome. Who is one of your heroes and why?
Gosh, I think one of my heroes, this is going to sound really weird, is my daughter. And and she's a hero to me just because of what she's gone through. She went through a major surgery recently, and she's just so resilient, and you would never know it.
Yep.
And she just goes through, you know, every day as in like, it is what it is, and off I go. And I know I would personally probably be in a different space mentally than she is.
Right.
And definitely physically. So I'm just impressed every day at what she's been through and how she just keeps moving forward.
Yeah. At her young age to have an entire summer where, you know, she couldn't do the activities that she wanted to normally do. And she just took it on the chin and handled it with grace for sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
So this is the music question, and you're responsible for doing a lot of the music for our manager meetings, for our leadership conferences, whatever you want to call them. If you could travel anywhere and see any one band or artist currently live and performing, who would you go see?
Easy question, Dave Matthews.
Oh, nice.
Nice. You just made Allison very happy.
Yes.
I mean, I bet she's over 100 times that she's seen him.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 80 and 100.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
What is the most unusual thing you have ever eaten?
This should be fun based on like your
everywhere
childhood.
Everywhere you traveled.
Yeah. There are some great things. I think probably the most unusual, and I'd say what I really enjoyed was baby eel.
Okay. Specifically baby eel.
Baby eel.
I don't know that I would know the difference between.
Yeah. It's a little eel and they're fried and almost like a butter. It's almost like escargot.
Okay.
They're served on a dish. When you first see it, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I eating? And it almost looks like pasta.
Okay.
And it's just delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was that?
We had that in, was it Cairo or Saudi or somewhere in the Middle East?
Okay. Gotcha.
If you could go back in time once, do you have an idea of when or where you would travel?
Oh, absolutely. I go back to Philly. Any ideas why? No. When?
Yeah, whoa, let's rewind a little bit. You go back to Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Okay.
So we're talking about a moment in the past in Philly. No, I'm trying to think of American history, but.
You're on it. It would be 1787 in Philadelphia when they did the Constitutional Convention.
Oh, wow.
And what they did is they all got behind closed doors because they didn't want anybody to know what they're talking about. And that's when the Founding Fathers, Washington, everybody just really started hammering out what the Constitution of the United States
was. So be a fly on the wall to watch that play out. That would be incredible.
And to hear that.
Yeah.
I think that would be just something super cool.
It would be.
And this is the first time in the podcast I want to make this mark that anybody has said they would go back to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a very unique answer.
I didn't know if it was a DJ Jazzy Jeff reference or, but we've talked about this question in the past. Like, if you head back to that time, do you get to have the knowledge that you have today with you? You know, do you bring, or are you just experiencing it for the first time? Because if you're watching it for the first time, I don't know if it would be as enormous as we know that moment to be. But if you go back with the knowledge that you have now and where our society is now, it would be pretty magnanimous to go back and see that for sure.
That's why I selected it. Yeah. Just assuming the knowledge of now, right?
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. That's cool. What is something you did in your youth that you would like to revisit?
Equestrian riding. I used to be really active and I used to travel around Europe. Riding horses, and I loved it.
Oh, nice.
And next thing you know, college came, and I just got out of it. I used to do a lot of Grand Prix, a lot of 3-day event, dressage riding.
Oh, cool.
And just time, so I'd love to get back into that.
What do you like to eat from any of our menus, any concepts?
I think my go-to would probably be the Wrangler.
That's only at the Legacy locations.
Yeah.
Do you have any special, secret, or hidden talents?
I think everyone does. I mean, I guess, I can speak, multiple languages, still fluent in Spanish, Italian, and Arabic.
I'm going to say I didn't believe you until we were in Vegas and you started speaking fluent Italian to this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess he can speak fluent Italian.
and it was
pretty awesome to see.
Product of all the travel you did growing up?
Yes, it was just, growing up overseas as a kid, you're kind of a sponge. And we used to watch cartoons in Spanish or Italian or, watch a show and you hear it and you just pick it up. And luckily it's been able to stick with me. Yeah. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah.
But after I get into it for, a day or two, I'm
pick it back up.
Yeah. Pick it back up.
Did your parents have that same thing with traveling?
No,
it's a lot easier for kids.
No, it was horrible.
Yeah.
My father growing up, he used to always put his foot in his mouth when he tried to speak another foreign language.
Yeah.
And he always had an interpreter with him. Or when we were young, he'd ask us what certain words would mean. And we couldn't tell him because sometimes there were swear words.
Yeah,
and we would give him, another definition. So they were not the linguists by far.
What is something you've done but probably never will do again? And you can plead the fifth.
I can give you guys a really interesting story on this. So something I've done and I know I will never do again is sleeping on C-130s with classified material on them. So I will never do again because I'm not in college. But when I was in college, I had a TS, top secret government clearance, and they would bring in military aircraft and they would land in the Middle East or wherever they would be. And at night, the crew would get off and they need somebody with a top secret clearance to sleep on a plane. So they would pay me $150
just to be out there
and just to go out there and I sleep on a plane. They drop me off at like, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night and pick me up at 6 in the morning. And, I would just hang out in the cockpit, walk around the plane and sleep and get up in the morning. So
that is crazy.
Yeah.
So we're saying, so you're saying if we offered that job to you
again,
you wouldn't do it.
Well, I don't think that job would
what come about up. $200
$200 $200 in a Wrangler sandwich.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. Do you have any fears, irrational or otherwise?
Heights.
Heights.
Don't do well with heights.
Okay.
Even though I fly an airplane.
Yeah, that's
already to say that.
That's about as high as you can go. And you wanted to be an astronaut.
I know. And I'm scared of heights. Put me in a building. It does not. I think it's a control thing when you fly. But sure. Yeah, if I'm looking down or if I'm at anything tall.
Like skyscrapers
looking down. Oh, God. I can't do it. Can't do it. Yeah.
I did there's this weird feeling you get when you look down sometimes that it's just this like stomach feeling. Right. It's like a pit of your stomach feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
All right. Trivia time. Oh, we've got, everyone says, oh boy, when it gets to trivia. We've got 8 trivia questions prepared, but you only need to choose 3. They're a mix of company trivia and easy to difficult general trivia. You'll select 3 numbers between 1 and 8, and we will ask you those questions. If you get 1 correct, you'll get a $10 coffee card. If you get 2 correct, you'll win a $25 Amazon card. And if you get 3 correct, you'll get the $25 Amazon card, plus you get to choose a restaurant, and every employee gets 500 surge points added to their account.
Cool.
Okay, so pick 3 numbers between 1 and 8 to select your questions.
1, 5, and 7.
1, 5, and 7. I will let Corey ask the first one.
Okay. We'll always have Paris, and here's looking at you, kid, are among the memorable quotes from what classic 1943 film?
God, I am the worst when it comes to movie names. I have no idea.
Casablanca.
Yes.
You knew it.
Yeah, I just the worst names. I'm just actors and movies names are not my jam.
Number 5. Which basketball team has completed 2 three-peats?
The Bulls.
There you go. Pressure's off. Right. Yep.
I was gonna say that I thought that this was the team that you had traveled with trophy, but that was the Blackhawks.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
But I saw Michael Jordan a couple times in the Bulls. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Number 7. Although it's come to mean any flavored mayonnaise in the United States, purists might suggest that what Italian word should refer to an emulsion containing only garlic and olive oil? It's kind of a weird way to word that question.
It's a weird one. Garlic.
Garlic and olive oil.
Pesto? I have no idea.
Aioli.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
No worries. We got 1 correct, and you win a coffee card. Next, we move on to speed round questions. What is your favorite movie?
The Great Escape.
Oh, nice.
Good one.
Yes, that's one of my favorites, or the favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite beverage?
A great glass of Pinot Noir.
Favorite vacation or favorite place you've ever traveled? Again, that's a hard one for you to answer, maybe.
This is a really cool place. If you can get there, I'd highly recommend it. Sharm El Sheikh.
Wasn't that a trend?
is there aioli in that?
There's aioli at the Sharm El Sheikh. It's the Red Sea. It's up at the Sinai Peninsula up there in the Middle East.
Sharm El Sheikh?
Sharm El Sheikh. Okay. Yeah, it's a great resort. You can actually fly in there and you don't even need a visa if you're there less than 14 days.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve, fake or non-genuine people.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
And I would say maybe take entitlement. People that are entitled just drive me absolutely nuts.
And almost always those things go together.
Right.
If somebody's entitled, they're almost always fake. And yeah. Favorite book.
You know, I don't have a favorite book.
Okay.
Yep. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Have you always been that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can do the night owl, but even if I go to bed at midnight or 1, I'm still up by 6 in the morning.
Yep. So. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip.
Nice.
Best pizza topping?
Well, I think toppings would be chicken, artichoke heart, jalapenos.
I'm sorry, the question was topping.
As I said, toppings would be.
No, that's all good.
I think our last podcast was with Jay Fenchek, and his answer was meat.
He just said meat. I pushed him a little bit. I'm like, spam? Are we talking about spam here?
Excellent. So we're about wrapping up our time with you, James. So we've got a few wrap-up questions. What is one of your goals you struggle to achieve?
I think the goal that I struggle the most to achieve is just, you know, throughout our restaurants, probably consistency in beverage making. Mm. You know, very much like food. I don't think it's on the radar to really, you know, abide by and be stringent to those recipes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, and people don't consider the value or the importance of the specs of beverages as much as we harp on them need to for food recipes. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not only within, you know, Glacier Restaurant Group. I think, you know, across the industry, people think it's, well, anybody can be a bartender.
Right.
And really good bartenders are hard to find. And yeah, it truly is a craft. And, you know, making a balanced cocktail is not something that can be done really easily or just by throwing, you know, liquid in a glass.
Yep. That's good.
What is your go-to productivity trick?
Go-to productivity trick would be between 6:30 and 7:30 every morning, I can go through all my emails from the night before in the day and get rid of all my junk and garbage emails. So and it allows me also to catch up on the news. So I think that saves me a lot throughout the day.
That's good. What energizes you at work and what energizes you outside of work?
I think what energizes me at work are, you know, the results and the people. I think it's great when we set ourselves to deliver something and then we see the delivery and we see it do well. And it's fun to work with a group of people that are passionate about it. So I think the people piece and delivering great results is very energetic. Outside of work, what energizes me is, I think, and exhausts me is my family.
Right? That's fair.
Yep.
Yep.
See, ice skating.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you could snap your fingers and become an expert in something, anything, what would it be?
I'm not sure I want to be an expert in any one thing. I think I'd much rather be good, really good at quite a few things.
Sure.
Right.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I think, yeah.
I think it might have been Bree in her podcast. She said something similar. She said that she didn't want to become an expert of anything because she didn't want the burden of that responsibility. And the reason she didn't want that burden is that she couldn't think of anything that she would be an expert at that would make the world a better place. Like, she got super, super.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, it was great.
Then she threw her headset down and walked out.
Yeah, we haven't seen her since.
Hopefully she comes back sometime soon. It was months ago.
What's the best advice you were ever given?
You know, this is a great question. I remember this so vividly. It was my dad who told me this, and I was in college at the time, and he's like, you know what being really smart is? He said, being really smart is knowing how dumb you are.
Yeah.
And basically the way I look at it, you know, true knowledge is knowing your own ignorance.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot that we don't know, and knowing what you don't know, I think, is what makes you that much smarter.
Yeah. That's a good answer. I like that.
So on that note, what is the best advice you would pass along, either personal, professional, or both?
I think this is great for our industry. I would say, you know, just because people don't complain doesn't mean they're happy.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in our restaurants and, you know, at our bars, you know, we always remember the negatives.
Yep.
We never really, I don't say never really, but, you know, the positives, or someone's just sitting there, you know, being at our bar, is the service great or is it just okay?
Are they just existing?
Yeah. Are they just existing?
Yeah.
So, just because somebody doesn't say that something's bad or doesn't say anything does not necessarily mean, you know, in my opinion, that they're always happy.
Yeah,
always room for improvements.
That's excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, James. It was great chatting with you. Also, thank you for being willing to wear multiple hats. You talked about it at the beginning of the podcast, all the different things that you do, whether it's helping with on the marketing side, beverage development, communication side, real estate. You're also the primary planner for our manager meetings that we have with all of our managers. So we super appreciate your willingness to be flexible and for all the skill that you bring to the company.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. See you,
thanks.
James.
Bye.